This morning, we're going to talk about serving. Serving. The next component of good, solid discipleship is that disciples serve and then disciples make other disciples who serve. So the book of Mark, chapter 10, we've got a story about Jesus, and it's an interesting one. I love interactions between Jesus and his disciples, and this is just a really unique one. I see myself in this story a lot of times, and you might see yourself here too. So look at Mark chapter 10, verse 32. It says this. It says, "They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them." So we know why Jesus is going to Jerusalem, right? He's already told us. He's told us that he's going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will go to Jerusalem, and he will suffer many things, and he will die, right? And the disciples were amazed, and those who followed him were afraid. So we see this scene where Jesus is resolute. He knows where he is going. He's going to Jerusalem, and he is rushing there. The Bible actually says he's going up to Jerusalem and he's walking ahead of his disciples, right? He's rushing towards the cross. And then we look at the disciples. What are these disciples going to talk about on the way to Jerusalem? What's going to captivate their mind? We come to verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, remember, Jesus is rushing to Jerusalem to die. "Jesus, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." You know what we start to see? We start to see that disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, are prone to miss what being a disciple is all about. And if we were honest, we would say the same thing, right? We are prone to forget what being a disciple is all about. We're prone to ask questions like the disciples, like James and John, when they come up to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, we want to be great, so here's how we'd like to be great." We feel like the work we've been doing with you down here, it's been awesome. We've been serving you. We've been helping the poor. We've been feeding. It's been great. So we feel that we've earned the right for others to serve us. We feel the right to sit back and be in a position of authority now. We've earned that. Isn't that how we often come to discipleship? We've worked hard. We've done what we can. And now we've earned the right for others to serve us. And Jesus is going to tell us what a true disciple is. So I've got it on the screen. He says in Mark chapter 10, verse 43, he says, "Actually, the way you're thinking is the way of the pagans." That's the way the Gentiles believe it works. Let's actually go back to verse 42 there. "You know that those who are considered rulers over Gentiles lord it over them, that their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you." But whoever would be great, what's the accurate pattern of a disciple? Whoever would be great must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. And then he says, "Look at me. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus says, "I am the master. I've called you to be the disciple. Let me remind you what I'm doing here. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." He tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 40, he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." So what's a disciple? What's a follower of Jesus? Someone who's going to look just like him. You see, this next part of discipleship is this, that a disciple is a servant. A disciple of Jesus Christ serves. So let's pray and ask God to help us to be the disciples that he has called us to be. So here's our two foundational principles this morning. This is what this lesson's really going to flow out of. The first one is that committed disciples serve God and one another by using the gifts God has given them. So what we're going to see is that servants are people that they use their gifts that God has given them for God and one another. Committed disciples, this is what they do. They serve God and one another by using the gifts God has given them. Committed disciples are servants. We aren't just people who do servy type things when it fits into our schedule, right? We are servants. It's who we are. And remember, this only happens as we become more and more like the Master. So what we got to understand here at the beginning is there's some really important words in there. We use the gifts, not that are just inside of us and we work it up. We're actually using the gifts God has given us for God and one another. So this is something that God does in us. You see, we ask questions like, how has God given me ability and opportunity to serve? That's how I'll serve. We look around us at our life and we look inside at what excites us and what motivates us, and we say, how has God given me ability and opportunity to serve him? That's how I want to serve. Committed disciples serve God and one another by using the gifts God has given them. But the next part of that is this, because our service is not to be done in a vacuum. Here's your next blank. Committed disciples serve God and one another by helping each other find and use the gifts God has given them. See, we're constantly on the lookout for other people that we can say, you know what, it looks like you could serve God this way. Have you ever thought about serving God this way? It seems like you get really excited about this. Have you ever thought about doing this for God? That's the community of faith. We're constantly doing that. We're constantly helping one another use the gifts that God has given them to serve. We're all called to serve, right? That's been abundantly clear from this word from Jesus. We're all called to serve. But we're also all called to be disciple makers. So this is where these two come together. We disciple others. We follow Jesus. We learn to be made like him. We duplicate like him. We create disciples who are servants. So let's walk through this a little bit. First thing I want you to notice is that serving is a stewardship issue. While you're noticing that, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bible. Serving is a stewardship issue. In Ephesians chapter 4, we get this picture of what God is doing. He's giving out gifts in the church to believers so that they can serve one another and serve him. So how does it all fit together? It's a stewardship issue. Now, what's stewardship? What is a steward? Somebody help me out. What is a steward? Right. A steward is someone that manages people or resources. They are entrusted either people, time, money, stuff, and they are called to actually manage that, use it well, right? In the Christian life, the picture of a steward is one who takes the gifts, talents, time that God has given them, and they manage it well. They use it the way that God would want them to use it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 7. It says this, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Remember, serving is a stewardship issue, and every gift that you have, which God gave you to serve, every gift is given by God. When's the last time that you actually thought about this, that God has actually entrusted you with the things that you get excited about? The things that you're burdened to do. When is the last time that you actually thought, you know what, God, you actually entrusted me with this? It's this idea of treasure. The God of the universe has chosen to give every single believer a certain measure of burdens, talents, time, gifts. It's like a treasure box that we hold. And all throughout our Christian life, We're opening the treasure box and peeking in to see what has God given me. This is a gift from God. Serving is a stewardship issue. You've been entrusted with your makeup. You've been entrusted with your time. You've been entrusted with the things that you get excited about. Would you see it that way? That God has called you to manage the gifts that he's given you well. But then the next part of this is that every gift is important. Every gift is important. Verse 7 says it this way. It says, grace was given to each of us. Every gift is a gift from God according to the measure of Christ's gift. Here's the amazing thing about what this verse is saying. It's saying that God looks at every church that follows the name of Jesus and places themselves under the cross. Measured out gifts have been given so that nothing is lacking in the church. Every gift is important. Did you just think about that for a second? Measured out. God looks down at Gospel Grace Church and he says, what does this church in this place at this time need to do so that it is completely sufficient for my will? What do they need so that they can do what I want them to do completely and totally? And then you know what he does? He measures out to each one of us. He measures out according to his gift. So you might have the flour. You might have the sugar. You might have just a pinch of salt to make it just right. But every gift is important, and God masterfully and wisely gives exactly what each person needs so that the entire church as a whole can be what he wants them to be. Every gift is important. In that picture, when I was reading this and I started meditating on these verses, I thought, you know what? It is a lot like God is perfectly measuring out ingredients for the perfect cake. Not too much flour, not too much salt, not too much of the things that would overwhelm. He puts it all together just right, and he gave you a piece of that. Do you see the gifts that God has given you as important so that he can do his will in this place? The next part I want you to see is this, that every gift is different. Every gift is different. So this comes out of that same phrase, measured according to the measure of Christ's gift. He's given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. He gives out both different gifts, but he also gives out different levels of giftedness. So as we look around and we say, you know what, I'm not as good at that as that person. Or even when we have similar gifts and we clash because we look at that person and we compare ourselves to them and we say, I wish I could do that as well as they can. Has anybody ever felt that before? Anybody? Yeah. You ever look at somebody and just be like, why do I even try? Like, I'm done, right? I'll just sit in the background. Now, here's what actually this passage is teaching us, that every gift is different. Different gifts, but also different levels of giftedness. And as we look throughout the New Testament, we see this incredible thing about gifts. See, the Bible talks about how Timothy was given a gift, but then we see him serving in all these different ways. Like he's preaching, he's teaching, he's encouraging. You look throughout, and he's not just one gift. He's this blend. He's a composite, right? He's not just one thing. He's actually all of these different parts working in harmony. So do not fret. Don't worry about what gifts you have and which ones you don't have. Because what God has done is he's taken the gifts that he's given you and he's mixed it with everything about you. It's this idea of your personality and your makeup. So you may be an encourager just like somebody else in this church, but you're an encourager that gets excited about different things. Maybe you've got the gift of encouragement and mercy, and so there's this little side of you that feels for people, and so you run to them, and then you're ready to say an encouraging word. Maybe you're a prophet, and you are gifted to serve by speaking truth. But that prophecy is also mixed with a little bit of administration. So when you see something wrong, you look at it and you say, you know what, that's wrong. I'm going to go and organize it so I can fix it. It's all together in this beautiful blend, so you're not allowed to get discouraged. Every gift is different. God has gifted you with exactly what he wants you to do so that this church is not lacking. Let's keep going. Serving is a stewardship issue, but it's also a community issue. You see, we use the gifts that God has given us, the gifts he has entrusted to us, together with other people. We use it as a body. So this passage keeps on going, and it says in verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So here's your blank. We all grow as we use our gifts in the work of the ministry. So notice a few things about that. What this is saying here is that it's saying that church work, the work of the ministry, is not primarily to be done by the pastoral team. I'm not like trying to get myself out of work here, okay? But that's actually what the Bible says. See, what the Bible says is that pastoral team looks out and tries to survey opportunities and set them up so that the members of the church would be ministers themselves and do the work of the ministry. I mean, how much do you look at the work of the ministry as, you know what, the pastoral team will take care of that. They've got it. No, actually, if we're doing our job well, we're setting up opportunities for you. We're being sensitive to the Lord, setting up opportunities for you so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that we all, as a body, can do the work of the ministry. So two questions we ask. We ask, how can I be served and challenged by the members of this place? How can I be served and challenged by the members of this place? That's important because we need to let other people serve, right? How can I be served by others? But then we also ask this question. Who in the church and outside of it can benefit from my abilities and resources? You see, when that happens, we all grow as we use our gifts. The next part of this is this. We all grow as we use our gifts in dependence. Independence. See, the passage goes on, and it goes through and walks through how all of these gifts work together and what they're doing, but I want to focus on verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We all grow as we use our gifts in dependence. So we depend on one another. We say, I've got my gifts and I need other people to use their gifts. It's like the picture of a beautiful mosaic. Each of us are a little piece of this to where together as a whole it's beautiful, but take one tile out and look at it and you're like, it's just a square shard of tile. You take it out and suddenly the masterpiece is broken. But together, working in tandem, it's beautiful. There's dependence to the use of these gifts where we depend on the body and the body depends on its members. It's like a lineman on a football team. You know that guy? He's not going to win the game by himself. But what he can do is together with the rest of those linemen, he can block and open up routes so that the running back can slide through. He can give the quarterback time, the lineman, along with the rest of the team. It's like the oboe. It sounds horrible by itself. Sorry if you like the oboe, all right? But it sounds horrible by itself. But you put that thing in the midst of a symphony, in the midst of an orchestra, and all of a sudden, it sings. It shines. You're like, what's that? Oh, that's an oboe, right? Would we see that we use our gifts in dependence? Let's keep going. The next part says this, we all grow as we use our gifts with effectiveness. Verse 16 says, when each part is working properly. When each part is working properly. In other words, the parts that are supposed to do the things that they do them. They don't worry about doing what they're not supposed to do. It's like the picture of a body. Paul brings it up, right? I mean, it's always comical to think about different body parts working in different places, right? Man, that ear, he's really wanting to help that body move, so he's going to put himself where the foot is supposed to be, right? It's a humorous picture. You know, kind of walking on the ear, one massive ear on the foot, right? You know, it's the picture and the idea that when we do what we're supposed to do, there is effectiveness. You see, it's a community issue. We work together in dependence. There's this humility that comes. I'm not supposed to do everything. I'm supposed to do what I ought to do. I'm a hand. I am not supposed to be on the end of a knee. Right? It's a horrible way to greet people. I gotta look down, like, are you waving at me? Or are you doing jazz hands? Like, no, do what you are supposed to do, right? Here's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon says. I'll read the first part of the quote because we don't have much time. I do believe it is before every Christian either to serve his God with all his heart or to fall into sin. I believe we must either go forward or we must fall. The rule is in Christian life, if we do not bring forth fruit to the Lord our God, we shall lose even our leaves and stand like a winter's tree, bare and withered. You see, we're to give our all to working properly in the place that God has given us. And when we do, there is qualitative growth. So it says that as we do, makes the body grow. There's qualitative growth. We get better at loving one another with gospel love. It just happens. But not only qualitative growth, quantitative growth. Because as these gifts begin to work together, do you realize our witness to a lost world is magnified? We shine brighter as each of us pour our gifts into the whole, as each hand does what a hand is supposed to do. And if you're just a finger, you stay where you're supposed to be. And we qualitatively and quantitatively grow. Here's the last point. With this, we'll close. We all grow as we use our gifts to help one another use their gifts with effectiveness. If that is true, then, if all of this is true, then here's what disciple makers are constantly doing. They're saying, God, how have you gifted me? How can I help another person use the gifts that they've been given? God, I see that you've enabled me to want to serve and just work behind the scenes. I'm going to look for somebody else that seems to get excited about that too, and I'm going to help them do it better. I'm going to notice when people use their gifts, and it seems like God is just magnifying that gift. And I'm going to say, do you realize that that was such a blessing to the body? It was amazing. Thank you. We're constantly in the business of helping one another use their gifts with effectiveness. And I think about a baseball game. It's World Series time. I don't know who you're going for. Now's not the time. Okay. But there's this incredible thing that happens. There's a bunch of people sitting up in the stands. There's supporters who are yelling, yes, I love this. Keep it up. Across from them is the guy that seems like he can do everything better, but the funny thing is he's not out there doing anything better. He's just constantly he's just saying things like, man, can't you throw that better? I mean, eye on the ball, buddy. I would never have swung at that pitch. There's supporters, there's critics, and then there's the wife who just loves her husband. And she's like, what quarter is it? Okay, completely indifferent, right? But really what happens is they contribute really very little to the outcome of the game, don't they? Very little. And they're yelling a lot. They're getting excited. They're throwing out lots of suggestions, but they contribute very little to what actually happens on the field. Do you know what a disciple maker does? A disciple maker looks at those people in the stands. He's the pitcher. He walks off the mound. He walks into the stands, and he begins to grab those people by the hand and says, come down, let's play together, because we're better when we have more. You see, I'd love to hear that suggestion, but you're not going to give it just sitting there. You're going to give it when you're working right next to me. We run through the stands, and we grab other supporters. We grab the indifferent. We grab the critic. We say, let's all put our gifts together for the glory of God and for the building up of His church. Because what the Bible says is this, that when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. May we all, use our gifts as committed disciples to serve God and one another. But then may we all also use our gifts to help one another find and use their gifts more effectively. Father, thank you for your help. We needed encouragement. We compare ourselves. We're fearful. We don't know if we count. We don't know if we're important. But God, you tell us that every gift that you have given is important. May we all spend ourselves using our gifts and helping others to find and use their gifts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for your attention. We'll start up here in about 5 minutes for our service. You're dismissed. Hey, buddy. Praise the Lord, man. Hey. What's that? Oh, good. I actually, when it was really close, he wasn't in the back, and it was too loud.
Okay.
So
I also heard you speak a few times. In the last 4 weeks, I've heard noise.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like a signal. I wonder if there's something in this cord.
Yeah, this is the cord. That he used the same cord as last week, different pack.
Okay.
So